In curling especially, you're four members that all contribute to one result. So why shouldn't it be one team that gets to do it rather than just the one person?
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Trexton and you are listening to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast that lifts the lid on everything that goes on behind the scenes of the talent industry. In this episode, we are joined by Team Mowat. They are the Team GB Olympic curling team who won a silver medal at the 2022 Winter Olympics, are favourites for gold at the 2026 Games, and have won two world championships in the last 3 years. They are Grant Hardy, Bobby Lammy, Hammy McMillan, and their skip, Bruce Mowat. I started by asking Bruce why curlers would need an agent.
I think that it's a bit of unknown territory for a lot of curlers. Like we don't necessarily have dealt with agencies before, and having someone look after our you know, our media that comes through, especially around the Olympics, it's quite hectic. We experienced that 4 years ago. And I think this time around is potentially going to be more extreme. Like, I think that with COVID happening, it was pretty intense. So this time around, it could be even more intense. And, you know, it's nice to have someone that's on your side to help you with all the extra bits that come with the Olympics. That, you know, we're obviously a curling team. We're going to focus on our sport, and just having someone that's there to help you guide yourself through the kind of craziness of entertainment and journalism and all these extra bits, it's quite exciting for us to have that opportunity to work with you guys.
It's funny that you mention entertainment, because without naming any names, you guys have recently recorded quite a high profile TV show that will be going out before the Winter Olympics. Did that make you more hungry for the spotlight, or more terrified that you might need support in how to navigate it?
Trying to navigate that situation ourselves actually turned out to be a bit more difficult than we thought. So actually have an agent at that time, you know, you're only talking February, it would have been a lot easier. So to navigate that space yourself, when you don't know the whole idea regarding figures and budgets and what questions to actually ask the people who are asking you to be part of the programme, you know, we probably more just thought we're happy to be part of it rather than actually what can we get out of it. So yeah, I think having an agent from this point on should hopefully open up a lot more opportunities, because in 2022 when we got the silver, we probably didn't capitalise probably at all really on what opportunities we could have got.
And how does, because I mean, this is, it's wild that you have an agent as a team, not that as four individual team members you're signed to an agent, but as basically one roster member you're signed. How does that work with you as individual? How do you not fall out?
I think, as you kind of said, we have, or as you'll know, we have four different personalities too. So there's going to be strengths, weaknesses that'll maybe be better suited to different opportunities. And I think hopefully you'll realise who's suited to what, and we can capitalise and make the most, and, you know, with that help, put curling in the spotlight a little bit more.
I think as well, individually, we know that, probably know that Bruce, being the household name off the team, the captain, the skip, gets most of the limelight. So if there is opportunities that are coming up that, you know, we can all capitalise from on the back of Bruce maybe being the first one to attend something, and then the three of us individually after that can pick up a few months later down the line, etc, etc, then I think that's, we know that's probably going to be the case as well, that Bruce might be asked to do slightly more to start with than the rest of us.
I mean, in curling especially, it's like you're four members that all contribute to one result, so why shouldn't it be one team that gets to do it rather than just the one person? That's traditionally in curling, it's always been the skip or the person that's named on the team. So yeah, it's quite exciting.
Not that you're complaining.
No, I mean, I've obviously benefited slightly from it, so now having representation as a team, it's quite exciting for all four of us.
Is the secret to operating in sync the fact that you all agree on everything, or the fact that you know how to disagree agreeably?
Yeah, we don't agree on everything, and it's never going to be that case. And if it is, then it's probably not going to work, because you need the four different personalities to be able to figure out what's the best path to actually go on.
Something we navigate a lot as well, like in our curling, is like disagreeing and stuff and coming to a resolution. So doing the same thing with the agency and different opportunities that come up, we might not agree, oh, I want that one, someone else got that one, but it's just understanding that everyone wants the best for each other and just carrying on with that.
So is that the case that you guys, like under time pressure, are disagreeing when you're on the ice competing about what you should be doing next, and you've learned how to resolve that and now you're applying it to the world of business?
Disagreeing is maybe the wrong word. It's just
we all have an opinion.
Yeah.
Like, even though we just won the world championship, that last shot that we made to win, the three of them wanted to play a different shot to what I wanted. But I believe
but
that's
won.
True.
No,
we won, yeah. 100% true.
We wanted to play a different shot.
That's they just because you didn't want the pressure.
Exactly. I just remember Bob going to me, he goes, "Do you like the hit?" I was like, "Nope, yeah. Don't." Like, Bruce got his brush down. He wanted to play the drum.
I wasn't brave enough to talk him out of it either, so no. We let him go with
you
it.
You want to play it, you go for it.
But that's what we've learned in the 8 years. It's like, we've learned what each individual, like how they tick. And like, you know, maybe at the start of our career as a four, we would have changed that decision. But because the guys saw that I was quite confident in playing that shot, that's what we went with.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've learned a lot in the 8 years we've been together. And, you know, we're now two-time world champion and silver medalist at the Olympics. It's pretty cool.
One of the things I think is quite remarkable, because I've never had this experience in sport before, is I've never come across a team who made the team themselves. They didn't just all go and do individual trials and then get put together like some kind of manufactured music, you know, musical act. They actually made the team and as a team went up for selection. Do you think that's part of your secret sauce?
I believe so. I think it's definitely something that helped us, and knowing that we kind of made the team kind of meant that we all wanted to play together because it was us that formed it. Whereas, and it's actually quite interesting because in today's age with the selection processes and stuff, our team would never be formed because at the time, obviously, with British curling stuff, they wouldn't have put us together, and they've kind of openly said that before, but for whatever reason, it worked for us, and we're just lucky the timing worked out.
Well, sometimes art is more impactful than science. I think you guys cracked the art of putting a team together. One of the things I want to ask about is, you could, I believe, change the perception of curling, both in your own nation, explicitly Scotland, but let's also say Britain, because you're part of Team GB, but then also kind of around the world. As an observer, it strikes me that especially if you go to the Olympics in February and you get a gold medal, you could put curling on the map in a way it hasn't been previously, as being young, fit, fun for everyone, a sport for people to get behind, being elite athletes that people recognise. Is that daunting?
I think in the UK, yeah. I asked a question earlier on actually in the car, myself and Grant, it's like, how does it feel to be like the second favourite curling team in Canada? So behind...
No. Second favourite?
Yeah, well, everyone knows who we're talking about as the first. Well, he gets the biggest cheer every event we go to. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not... You might see it, who knows?
He's not jealous.
But, yeah, like, for us, like, in Canada, where curling is massive, it's, you know, where I say we're on the equivalent to Sky Sports and BT Sport on their TV many weekends throughout the year, and back home we're still so niche, still so small. People know what curling is. So, you know, we found that out on Thursday night when we're networking. People do know what curling is.
By home, do you mean Scotland or Britain?
Britain. Yeah. I think Britain in general. Most people. I was surprised when I was chatting to people on Thursday that people, as many as they did, knew curling as well.
Thursday when you were at the Sport Industry Awards.
Yeah, like it was actually, I text Grant straight away saying it was actually quite amazing to hear people when you're talking about curling knew the boys, knew who we were all about. They assumed that we're going to the Olympics when we've not even been selected yet, all that sort of stuff. So they actually had seen our journey, they know what we've done, the World Championships, but for us being a niche sport, I still don't think we get a recognition as we probably should, being number one since September, all that sort of stuff, and having an unprecedented season. Our stats person, Kenny Moore, who's sadly retiring, basically said we've got an equivalent season to Scotty Scheffler, apart from the prize money.
That's a big statement.
But that's what he kind of said in our review meeting, that the way we've won and the amount of world ranking points we've got. But yeah, it's not shouted enough, probably in UK, not just Scotland.
The difference as well is that I think in Britain, people can name Rona Martin, they can name Eve Muirhead, to our point about being able to name the skip, but they've never had a full boy band that they can pick from to see who's their favourite. Like the little, you know, the little quiz, which one would you be best friends with?
I think that's the exciting thing about obviously working yourself now in the agency is previously we've seen kind of the eyeballs that follow the Olympics and get behind curling, but then that dies down. So having the kind of work with the agency now, that kind of relationship's in place to hopefully take advantage of the eyeballs on the Olympics and then try and use that to help grow the sport within the whole Great Britain.
And as a team, you work brilliantly to make the name of curling one that everybody gets excited about. I'm a complete convert, but I would like to know individually, what are your personal passions? What drives each of you? And whoever has to answer first has way less time to think about it than the other three. So hopefully you're all feeling very confident straight out of the gate.
I take it I can't say that it allows me to golf all summer.
I think you're going
to
be like
ties
my girlfriend.
With schedule. That's what I was about to say next, yeah.
Yeah, making her proud, that's the line.
Yeah, I can jump in quickly. The main driver, I think, which made us probably end up being a team that's gone 8 years together, was the Olympics in 2022. Bruce mentioned was COVID. Our family and friends couldn't come and support us. They come to every other event, like majors like Europeans and World Championships, that, you know, the one event they wanted to come to the most, they couldn't. And us, hopefully, going to be the first team to go back to Olympics as the same original four who went previously. It's never been done before.
It's the first time for Britain or for any country?
For Britain. There's always been these guys who've gone twice or three times, but just haven't been with the same four.
Yeah.
We were the first exact same four to go back who will be playing on the ice. So for us, I think me, one of the biggest drivers was...
Sounds like there's loads of gossip that you're not sharing.
No. Just the actual driver to have our family and friends been able to be there to watch us in a second Olympics was probably a massive thing for... I know myself.
Yeah, like they follow us everywhere. So they've been to multiple European championships, multiple world championships. So to actually get them to be there to see what we're hopefully going to achieve is pretty exciting. And yeah, we want it as much for ourselves, but for them as well.
I think everyone knows as well, it's the one thing we've not achieved in curling yet. And that would kind of be the pinnacle for all of us to go and actually put ourselves in the bracket with the Rona Martins and Eve Muirheads.
And then be the only team to go back for the third time as a unit of four.
Same conversation we had after.
Not sure we can last 12 years with each other, can we?
I think he's a record just about that.
Coming back to your personal passions, like Bruce, I know that you are a massive advocate for the LGBT community, and I know the other guys are allies, but it's not as much of a personal mission for them. Like, they'll always have your back. Is that something where you feel curling has given you the same platform as other sports, or it's kind of like a bit of a shock that a curler also wants to speak up about these things?
I mean, I think it's nice just to see it come through in any sport. So regardless of if I was, you know, a swimmer or a track and field athlete, but, you know, I'm just proud that, you know, I've come through to this point where I'm pretty close to the, if not the top of the game, and, you know, achieving things that are pretty amazing for anyone. But to do it, especially as like a male athlete, who we don't often see that there's a lot of openly gay male athletes. You know, it's pretty special for me personally to have been able to achieve that. But outside of my own journey and wants for myself and success and my career, I want to also be able to like build something in Britain that, you know, it is inclusive for people to come to our sport, to be able to just, you know, enjoy our sport, because it is such a sense of community. You know, that's the first thing that I fell in love with our sport, was the people that was involved in it. You know, we have clubs where after the game you go and sit with them and you have a drink and you talk about, you know, like the game that you've just had, but everything else that might be able to like share, to actually create a bond. And that's what I love about our sport, is such a community-based thing. And if I was to be able to expand it further to bring more people in and be totally inclusive for curling, it would be amazing.
How important was that for you in choosing representation? If someone had come to you and said, right, we're going to make you the global face of Nike, but to be honest, we don't really care about your personal passions, or we will help you achieve your personal goals, but don't know how much money you're going to make out of it. Where did that balance lie?
Well, I think what my goal is now, like, I've achieved a lot in this sport. I think I want to like go beyond what I can achieve and like bring more to the sport. So with that, like growing grassroots and getting people to come along and take part. Like in Canada, there's a million curlers, and they're a smaller country, or like larger in size, but like population-wise, they're smaller than Britain. They have a lot more people that are involved in sport. So they have gay leagues in every single major city. They have a national gay championship. And in Scotland, we don't have a single gay club or pride club. So we want to be able to like start a pride championship in Scotland to then be able to start a club. And you never know, like that might lead to having the World Gay Curling Championships, and that would be pretty cool. It's something that I've kind of written down on my kind of vision board, I guess, to be able to achieve something along those lines.
Oh, wait to see that. Hammy and Grant, what pressure is on you guys as part of a curling dynasty?
I wouldn't say like there's that much pressure from an outside point of view. I think everyone, myself and Grant, have done in our career since we've became part of Team Out, we've probably achieved more than we probably ever thought we would. Even you know, surpassing other people in the family, like my dad, who have got World Championship medals and Europeans and went to Olympics in 2002. So we've, you know, I think we've probably, I don't think, they're more just like biggest supporters now. There's no pressure from them. They want to see the best from us, and they ultimately want to be with us and see us get that goal.
They do kind of live and breathe every single shot we play. Like they're there, they support us, they come all over the world, and as Hammy said earlier, it's going to be so good to have them in Cortina as well.
Like generally trying to tell my mum to go and Stephen to go a different holiday, apart from coming to a small place in Finland to watch us play the European Championships for the, you know, sixth time they came to watch us. I'm like, guys, take your annual leave and go somewhere hot and sunny just for a week instead of coming to a small wee town. But they won't do it. They won't do it. They want to be there. They don't want to miss a moment. I think my mum's got no nails left by the end of the week. Generally, like I look in the crowd, I see her. She's actually so nervous. I'm like, chill out. Like you cannot do anything from the stands. But no, as Grant said, they live every single moment with us.
And what about when you were talking about representation and your futures and building your brands? Do they sit back and watch, or are they like, lads, this is the way it's done?
I think they just want us to get the most out of probably curling than we can. Hopefully curling's going in a different direction, or a new direction now with things are going to happen next season with this new pro league, the Rock League. Curling's going in a different direction, and you know, we've got you guys now looking after us from now until hopefully February 2026, and hopefully
and thereafter.
Does it stop?
But working up to then to get the exposure that I think curling needs, to then on the back of that is, you know, continuing our story and growing on the back of that, and hopefully telling our story and what we achieved.
Bobby, you got 3 world titles and you're still in your 20s. What else is on your list, like on Bruce's board? What else is on your list? Pro golf?
Next for me is definitely, like as previously mentioned, is the one that we all want, and the one that's left for us is getting that Olympic gold. Came so close last time and know how much that hurts, so I think we'll be doing our best to try and make that happen next time.
And does that define the future thereafter? If you get the gold, do you think, oh, what else is on my to-do list? And if you don't get the gold, you just press on until you've got one?
No, I think it's just you do your best and you try and make that goal happen for yourself, and if it happens or if it doesn't happen, then you just have to reset and then make new goals and go from there, whether that's same goal again or different goals, or no matter what it is, it'll just be resetting and then figuring out what's next in life.
I think it would certainly help the career after anyway if you had the gold. As you say, everyone knows Rona's Eve's name, etc, etc. So I think, you know, if you were to go get the one that we don't have, then I think it certainly could propel your career into whatever direction you wanted.
Okay, after I ask the next question, I want all of you at the same time to say a name, okay? One name straight out of the box. Which one of you is most likely to end up on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
Bruce.
Hamilton McMillan.
Well, Bruce will get asked. If he says no,
he'll
take on the job.
I generally don't think I could do it.
Why not? You don't like to eat bugs?
At the time, I think I'd be okay. Like I could say I could do something, then I'd stick my hand in a box and it's a snake, I'd run a mile.
Same, not a chance.
I think that's the reason they'd want you on it.
Yeah,
not Bruce, who's like, oh yeah, I'll just touch that snake, it's
that's
fine.
The rest
yeah? Okay, so last question. We're going to go down the road. If there's one thing that you thought when you were kids was beyond your wildest dreams in terms of achievements, but would be on your radar again if you walk away from Milano Cortina as Olympic champions, what would it be that you would want to go for?
play any golf course in the world you want.
That opens up.
Just stole Grant's answer.
Oh, did I? Sorry. Locked up.
Play Augusta, thank you.
Does that open that up?
No, probably not.
Why don't you say it with Grant?
There's no one thing that stands out for me, honestly. It's just the different opportunities that'll pop up, whether that's through kind of different gigs or stuff, or just fun opportunities like how we were joking about there, is different like golf courses and different things like that. It's just enjoying the kind of fruits of your labour, I guess, and just enjoying whatever comes after it for me.
Well, you mentioned I'm a celeb, so that's going to go top of the list.
Oh, Strictly Come Dancing for me.
You can bust a move, by the way. Your boy can bust a move. Yeah, probably again, very generic, probably similar answer to Bobby in a way, but I think just what it would open up, you know, I mentioned on Thursday night at Sports Industry, like about commentary potentially, that sort of stuff. I think so many opportunities could open the door on the back of an Olympic gold medal if it comes. You see how many guys now are on TV, or, you know, Tom Dean was on Strictly there during the last summer, and things like that could just open up whole new different avenues just from away from curling. No, you could be anything at all, but the fact you've got a gold medal, people want to hear from you and hear your story.
Well, if we're going down the route of reality TV, it's the traitors want to be on that.
I thought Craig and Ouch, you're already on that, though.
Well, just because it's filmed locally, you just don't want to go too far from home.
Well, I think I would be pretty good at it. People keep on saying I have a poker face, so we might as well test the actual poker face and see if it's there.
Poker face. I think if they saw that look you give when you let go of that stone, they'd just be like, definitely one of the traitors has been murdering people every night.
Stone cold killer.
I'll just try and soften it a wee bit. I'm working on it.
Mate, don't change it. It's working. It works.
Okay, I'll try and figure out the curling version to the natural, normal, everyday version. But yeah, I think like for me, I've always been a sports fan. I've always been a massive kind of Olympian nerd. So going to the Summer Olympics to like witness the 100 meters or something along those lines, and like massive fan of Wimbledon, something along those lines, would be really cool to sit in the royal box.
F1 actually, going to the F1. Yeah, that'd be sick.
That'd be cool.
In Vegas.
Anywhere, I think I would take it right now.
You're not going to complain. Genuinely, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm not that fussed about what opportunities would come. Like, just get a gold medal for us all and see what happens.
Nice and simple then, just win a gold and see what happens. We will be glued to the TV screen come February next year, hoping Team Mowat can indeed secure that gold medal. That's all we have time for today, but do get in touch via our email address, gvo@goodvibesonlytalent.com, or on social media @goodvibesonlytalent. That's all from me. I will speak to you next time on Anatomy of an Agency.